Take your Bibles now, remain standing, if you will, and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19 this evening is where we'll be. We will read responsively 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through verse number 10. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse number 4. I'll read verse number 4, and you'll join me on verse number 5, all the way down through verse number 10. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse number 4, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? And let's finish on verse number 10 together. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.
And let's pray. Father, we sure do thank you for the word of God. Teach us the truth tonight. Lord, we need this truth. We live in a very glum and gloomy world. Lord, use this truth tonight to help these, your people. Please encourage us, give us the strength we need, and give us the truth that could take us through these days ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Elijah was a very great man of God. Now, let me look this way. You've seen people sit down before. It's nothing interesting. Brother Barnes, quit acting like yourself. All right. Elijah is a very great man of God. Let me catch you up to where we're at in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah has just come off of Mount Carmel after killing 850 false prophets of Israel, 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 other false prophets. He himself killed 850 of these guys after an all-day event. If you remember, he was making fun of them. Hey, how about you call on your God? Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he went, maybe he did cut yourself and cry a little bit louder. And he was making fun of them. And that's where Elijah prays a 63 or 64 word prayer. And God came down and consumed the sacrifice, consumed the rocks, the 12 barrels of water that was on it and everything there. And they said, uh-oh. And he took his sword and killed 850 false prophets. Then, you got to realize, Elijah came on the scene and there was a king named Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Boy, doesn't that sound like a wonderful opportunity. After he has spent all day mocking and dealing with these idiot false prophets and hacking 850 heads off, he then decides Ahab's running back to tell Jezebel all that took place. And believe it or not, Elijah outruns Ahab's horse and chariot to get back home. A 40-mile trip. He outran a horse and chariot 40 miles. He gets to town and he's leaning up against the gate of the town before King Ahab gets there and says, hi. Can you imagine what Ahab felt like? I can't imagine somebody outrunning a horse and chariot for 40 miles, but he did. Then Ahab tells Jezebel what's going on, and word gets back to Elijah from Jezebel that she's going to kill him. So Elijah leaves, and he runs. The next morning, he leaves and goes on a trip. He runs for 90 miles to get from where he was down to where we are in 1 Kings chapter 18. It was a 90-mile trip. In 2 days, he's run 130 miles, killed 850 false prophets, and dealt with the king and his Jezebel wife who wants to kill him. He's not only running for his life, he's wore slap out. That's not in scripture, but it was inferred. In verse 4, the Bible says, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And he lay and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, the angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." Some of you, that's your favorite verse in the Bible. Arise and eat. I like the one in the New Testament that says, "Arise, kill, and eat." That's my favorite. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake. Look at verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He said, "Look, Elijah, you're discouraged, but part of it is because you've just done too much. You're wore out. Need to eat right and need sleep right." Now, notice he wasn't eating 3 meals a day. He ate once a day. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Why in the world is this man of God so discouraged? Why does he want to die? This is a great, bold warrior for God. This is a rough, tough, in shape man. You don't run 130 miles in 2 days and look like me. This dude was in shape and not round. Has he lost faith in God? Has he run away from God? Has he decided to give up in the battle? How could such a man of God be brought down to such a low, depressed, discouraged place in life to where he just wants God to kill him? Now, listen to this statement very carefully. The Bible is God's words to man. It is not a history book of words penned by men who are trying to put God's view to it. That is not what the Bible is. The Bible is God's word to man, word for word. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or man cannot live. Say, how do you know that? Because God spoke the world into existence. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Depart the water from the firmament, from the firmament, and dry land," and water appeared. Say, how did he do it? By the word of his mouth, he created. God's words are powerful. By the way, they're still powerful. I believe for the English speaking people, the King James Bible is the word of God. Yes. Not just is the word of God, they are the words of God. They weren't the thoughts of God put into men's mind and men pinned down what they thought God said. It wasn't man pinning down what he saw take place like we would in history. God spoke the words to man. Notice what it says. Look at verse number 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, watch this. And the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him. Does that sound like Elijah's words? No, it was the words of the Lord, and it came unto him and said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" As you go through the Bible, you'll see that term, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Not came unto him and he thought. These are the actual words of God. Now, listen to this very carefully. God is showing us that no matter how good of a man or a man of God that you think you may be, we're still sinners and very weak. Do you know that the best of us are still sinners? Brother Hiles used to say it this way. Do you know what a preacher is? That's one sinner talking to other sinners, trying to help get them saved and clean them up a little bit. But I'm a sinner just like everybody else is. I'm not the Pope. I don't wear $500,000 grapefruit on my head. I don't claim to be El Potentate and the Most High. Don't call me the Most Holy Reverend. Oh, you want to get me wound up? People calling, is Reverend Bush there? And Mrs. Barnes will say, nope, but preacher is. I love it. I love it. I love it. We may not always see our own weaknesses, but all of us are sinners and are weak, and we must let God help us. Now, listen to this. We cannot stop all negative and all discouragement from coming our way. You can't. We may not be able to stop it, but listen to this statement. You don't have to invite it in to live with you. I can't stop it from coming to my door, but I don't have to open the door, invite it in, and let it sit down in my living room. I can't stop everything from coming, but I can control what comes inside to me. We don't need to invite it in for a visit. We don't need to invite it in to stay with us. And you don't have to live in distress and discouragement in your life. Let me say that again. You don't have to. You say, well, preacher, don't you ever, doesn't discouragement or distress ever come your way? Comes my way almost every day. But I don't live with it. Today I want to share with you a truth that God gives us here from the life of Elijah. Number one, are you ready? Discouragement distorts our view of what God said, of what God can't, not what he said, what God can do. Discouragement distorts our view of what God can do. Look at verse number four. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Listen to me. This is a guy that 24 hours ago or so had prayed a 63-64 word prayer. And fire fell from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, 12 barrels of water, the stones, the wood, and everything around it. 24 hours later, he's saying, God, I'm so down, I want to die. What happened? Don't you think God is big enough to take care of Elijah when he's down as well as when he's on the mountaintop with a sacrifice that got burnt? Listen to this very carefully. Elijah begins to look around and see his own limitations. Look at the last statement there. I'm not better than my fathers. Recently, I was talking to a younger preacher. He said, Brother Bush, do you miss Brother Hiles? I said, that's a stupid question. Of course I do. Do you miss some of the older preachers? I said, of course I do. What would you, if you could spend five more minutes with Brother Hiles, would you do it? I said, no. He said, okay, that's not the answer I was expecting. I said, every time I've gotten to that point in the last 20 years, thinking I wished I had five more minutes with him, I think about what he would tell me, and he would tell me this. You have the same God, same Holy Spirit, same Bible I do. Go to them, not me. I said, instead of spending 5 minutes with Brother Hiles, I'd rather spend five more minutes with God. Because the God of Brother Hiles is more important than Brother Hiles. The God of Lee Robertson is more powerful than Lee Robertson. The God of Joe Boyd is more powerful than Joe Boyd. And I'd rather spend 5 minutes with God than 5 minutes with one of those men. Everybody doing okay? Yes, How do you stay encouraged? I don't worry about the 5 minutes I don't have with somebody. How about I spend 5 minutes with the God of that somebody? You see, Elijah looks around and says, well, I'm not better than my fathers, those that have gone before me. I'm not as good as Samuel. I'm not as good as this prophet or that prophet. He said, God, just kill me and get it over with. We're not supposed to look around. We're supposed to look to God. It's not what we do. It's what God can do through us. Don't you think God knows how limited we are? Don't you think God knows we are but dust? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Whoops, it's here. Hang on. Look at verse number 9. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And this is not the verses I was looking for. It might be 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hang on here. I'm reading, thinking, where in the world am I going with this thing? There it is. Whew. If I'd learned to write the right things down, then I wouldn't have this kind of problem, right? Got the wrong address, but I'm at the right house, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. Listen to the next one. In distresses. For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Did you ever notice it's when you're weak that you see God the best? This church is not built by a strong, outgoing, wonderful personality person. It's been built by a bunch of weak people. I'm not one of those people that walks in the room and everybody goes, wow, look at him. I walk into a room and everybody said, who opened the door? I'm not the most social person in the world by nature. I was at Brother C's a week or so ago when Brother Fugit was there, and several of you church members were there. Say, what'd you do? I went in, sat down by my wife, sat down with our people, and people came up to me, but I really didn't just go around and hobnobbing with all the preachers in the area. Say, why? It's not me. Then he called me up there to pray. Oh, I wanted to choke him. Then when I got up there, he wouldn't shut up. It's like, Brother C, I love you, but shut up, let me pray, and let me get down away from here. I came here to hear the preaching, not get talked about. I'm uncomfortable. You say, why? Because it's not about me. Now listen to this. I know what I am. I'm a weak sinner just like everybody else. But isn't it in our weakness God does something?
Yes, sir.
People that have known me for 20 and 30 years say, boy, that's the most unlikely person in the world to ever pastor a church. God specializes in that. God made us. He knows we are but sinful flesh and dust. But it is on our weakness, his grace is sufficient to get what he needs done. When discouraged, God wants us to see what he can do, not hear us talk about what we cannot or will not do. Let me say that again. When you're discouraged, God doesn't care about what, he doesn't want to hear what you can't do. He doesn't want to hear what you won't do. He wants you to look at him and what he can do. How about we quit looking at our limitations and realize God's not limited by us? You know, Moses didn't feel real qualified to lead 3.5 to 5 million Jews out of Egypt. He stuttered when he talked. And he had to go back to Egypt where he fled 40 years ago for murdering somebody. Can you imagine going back to a country where you murdered somebody, knowing you could face prosecution, and say, I got to go to the top, I got to go to the Pharaoh and tell him, let God's people go? Try that one on for size. He said, all right, Moses, I'll take care of your stutter for you, and I'll give you Aaron, your brother, to talk for you. Thank God he gave him his brother, not his sister, amen. They would have never left Egypt. She would have talked their ears off. Now, wait a minute. I'm teasing. You have to know the story of his sister. I don't think Moses had all the answers. He got them out there to the Red Sea, and they said, look, we're ready to go back to Egypt. You brought us out here. We're going to die. We could have been back there. At least we were cared for. And God says, Lord, help. He didn't have the answers. God said, what's in your hand, Moses? He said, a rod. He said, hold it up. He held that rod up. The east wind began to blow. Pillar of fire came down, and the dark side faced the Egyptians. The fire faced them, and that hot desert wind mixed with that cloud of fire and made a giant convection oven and dried out the Red Sea, and they went across on dry ground. But the water heaped up on both sides. Can you imagine walking through 150 foot wall of water on either side? Yeah, on dry ground in the middle of the Red Sea. By the way, it wasn't the Reed Sea. Well, theologians say they went through the northern section in a swampy area called the Red Sea. Well, that's a bigger miracle than anything, because the Egyptian army died in ankle deep water. How are you going to drown in ankle deep water? It wasn't the Reed Sea, it was the Red Sea. God's quite capable of saying what he meant. Imagine Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Our God will deliver us, but if not. And they bound them, opened up the furnace, and threw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. Now, I don't know about you. That's not a way I want to go. There's two ways in this world I really don't care to go. One is burning and the other is drowning. Fortunately, I swim pretty well, but I just don't have a desire to drown, and I really don't want to burn. I've been burnt enough in my life, I don't want to do it again. Amen? And I could go on and on. Hey, when you get discouraged, you start telling God what you can't do and why you can't do it. How about you look to God and say, I can't do it, but could you do it through me? God doesn't care what you can't do. He knows what you can't do. He knows what your limitations are, but our God is not limited by our flesh. Discouragement causes us to focus on the obstacle in the way and not the God who is not limited by sin like we are. We look at the obstacle in the way and God says, man, I can see way past that. Don't you worry. God, you want us to build a building? Where are we going to build it? We got to find property. Okay, how are we going to pay for it? Don't you worry about it. Just go find property. Yeah, you got to be about 3/4 nuts to be a Baptist preacher. Living by faith sounds real exciting to you. I'm the one that's got to pay the bills. Yeah, let's go build a building, preacher. Yeah, how are we going to pay for this? Oh, Lord, help me. God gave us this piece of property. God opened the door, gave us $45,000 or $40,000 from Jehovah Jireh. $35,000, something like that. Whew, got the property. Got enough money to start some drawings. Got things approved through the county. God kept giving, we kept going. We went as far as we could go till we needed more money. Oh, God, give us money. God gave us a check here. God gave us a check there. This came in, that came in, this price dropped, that price dropped, in the middle of when it shouldn't drop. Then the floods came. We didn't need a building, we needed an ark. We got more than twice as much rain the summer we tried to build this building than what we normally get in a year. Then the county says, well, your sewage, your septic plan won't work because your property's flooding, so we have to redo this. We had to have the state come in from Charleston and have the state inspector look at this and redesign it. They wanted us to have triple capacity of what we normally had. They wanted me to bring in 3 1,500-gallon concrete tanks for septic tanks. Do you realize how big a 1,500-gallon tank is made out of concrete? They were going to make us crane these things in. We had built a temporary road to bring them across, set them in place, bring the crane back out, take the road back up, and plant grass back in. I said, that ain't going to happen. It was going to add about $50,000 to our septic. I got on my knees, and I began to ask God, and I was talking to our excavator and our builder. I said, something's got to change. And one of the men says, well, how come we can't use plastic? I said, say that again. He said, well, they make plastic tanks. He said, I can take them out there in any piece of equipment I got. I said, check into it. He looked at it. It's going to add about $4,000 to the project instead of $50,000. I said, now $4,000 is a whole lot better than $50,000. I said, is it legal? He said, it's legal in the state of West Virginia. I said, go get them. We got them. The inspector came out. He said, I don't like plastic. I said, don't care. Is it legal? He said, it's legal, but I don't prefer them. I said, don't give flip what you prefer. Is it legal? I said, do you know what goes in there? Why does it matter whether it's plastic or concrete? I said, plastic won't eat away. Concrete will. This is safer than concrete. He said, well, it's still not my preference. I said, you're not paying the bill. I am. I said, you don't like it? You can go down and inspect it, and I'll close the top. He said, it'll do, Pastor. I said, thank you. You see, Elijah was trying to compare himself with other people. In verse 4, he said, only I am the one doing right. He requested of himself that he might die. Elijah only saw the problem. He quit looking at God. Look at me. When you get discouraged, quit looking at yourself and look at God. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with God. With us, it's impossible. With him, it's not impossible. God plus us equals possible. You won't always see how it's possible, but it's possible. It was Douglas MacArthur that said, there is no security on earth, only opportunity. There is no security on earth, only opportunity. I don't face problems. I don't use the word problem very often. I just call them opportunities. I might have to back up and think at it and try to figure another way around it, but we're going to get through it. It might not be concrete. It might be plastic. It was not paper. Amen. Never mind. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you just got to let God take control. Number 2, discouragement causes us to evade our responsibilities. Now this is going to get real personal. This one's going to hurt. Say ouch now. Amen. Look at verse number 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Does that sound like God's real pleased where Elijah's at? Does that sound like God told him to go there? Are you ready? Here it comes. God was still taking care of his needs. But God asked him why he was there. God gave him food. God gave him water. God gave him rest. But he said, what in the world are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Elijah only saw, by the way, God didn't want Elijah to run away. He wanted him to stay and face Jezebel and Ahab. Elijah's the one that ran away. God didn't tell him to run away. Elijah only saw the confrontation and didn't want to wait and see God's deliverance. He just watched him take care of 850 false prophets. Don't you think he could take care of a wicked king and Jezebel, his wife? Elijah ran away and hid when God wanted him to stay and fight. I watch way too many preachers run in the battle. I watch too many Christians run when things get tough. I'm dealing with a church that's looking for a pastor. And the chairman of the deacons, he texted me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've gotten 15 resumes in the last 2 days. He said, "May I ask a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Do I have the right to ask these pastors that are still pastoring why they want to leave their church and come to ours?" I said, "I would, and I'd put them at the bottom of the stack." I said, "They're looking to go somewhere." I said, "I've never had to ask God where to go. He's always just sent me." He said, "I was wondering about that." I said, "If I were you," I said, "I'd put them at the bottom of the stack, and we'll go from there." He said, "Thank you very much." Listen to this statement. If you don't get anything, listen to this. Don't mistake God's provision of daily needs as God's blessing on your actions for running. Well, God gave him food. God gave him water. God gave him rest. It must be God's will. No, it was not. God promised to take care of your needs, whether you're right with him or not. It rains on the just and the unjust. God feeds the ungodly God haters. Quit looking at God's provision for your daily needs as confirmation for your cowardice and running away. Thank you. Been looking for that one. God promises to meet your needs if you're saved or lost, whether you're right with God or wrong with God. God said, "I'll meet your needs and take care of you because you're a human being and I promise to take care of you, but don't you blame God as that's God's will for your running away." God came to Elijah and said, "Why are you here? Why'd you run away?" God's provisions are not proof. God is for what you're doing. "Well, I'll just wait for God to open the door." Did you know the devil can open and close doors too? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. So, when you get discouraged, the first thing you want to do is evade your responsibility and run. What should Elijah have done? Stayed where he was at. He was all wore out. He ran 90 miles. He did not have to run. Running from Queen Jezebel, a wicked, evil woman. Here's a man of God that just killed 850 false prophets, saw fire fall from heaven, and he's afraid of one woman. God help us. Having a pity party in Juniper Jungle. Number three, I've got to hurry. Discouragement causes us to see ourselves as all alone. Discouragement causes us to see ourselves as all alone. Look at verse number 10. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Now, I hate to tell you something, but Elijah wasn't the only child of God. You say, "What is that? A lie?" "Well, we're the only church that's doing it, and we're just so lonely, and we need other..." Why do you need other people? You need God. Amen. You're not the only one. "Well, I don't understand why I'm the only one that has to go through this." Do you think you're the only person in the world that has the problem you have? Woe is me. Yeah, let's get your pacifier and come here. We'll burp you too, baby. God wants you to grow up and face it. You're not by yourself. Me and God make a majority, whether anybody stands with me or not. Why is it that you have to have everybody else? Sounds like you need peer pressure. He looked all around and could only find those who disobeyed. Isn't it amazing when we're discouraged, we look around and find everybody else doing wrong? We're real quick to point out everybody else doing wrong, and we're the only ones doing right. And he complained to God that he had to stand alone. What do you think God feels like? He gets blamed for you being an ignoramus. He tells God that since he's all alone standing, he should just die and get it over with. There's times to think God agrees. Yeah, I'm tired of hearing you complain. How'd you like him to? I wonder if Elijah really wanted him to take him up on that offer. Sounds like Jonah to me. Jonah gets done preaching the greatest citywide revival in world history. Hundreds of thousands of people got saved. An entire city, including the mayor of the city, got saved. A very wicked city. Be like going to San Francisco, seeing Nancy Pelosi get right with God kind of revival. And what does Jonah do? He'd just been in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, got barfed up, and ran a three-day journey in one day. You say, why? He didn't want that whale to get him. I imagine Jonah didn't smell very good. He gets done preaching. The entire city gets saved. He goes out. He's complaining to God that everybody got saved. Jonah didn't want those people to get saved. That proves that you don't have to have a man of God that's right with God for people to get saved. It wasn't the messenger, it was the message. God, it's not fair. God raised up a gourd to give him shade, and then he brought a worm to kill the gourd, and then he starts complaining that the gourd that didn't give him shade. He said, look, I provided the worm, I provided the gourd. How about you get right with me? Boy, that's good stuff. Our discouragement is a loss of courage. That's what the word discourage means. It is a lack of courage. And it causes us to not want to continue in battle. Encourage means you put courage into somebody. Discourage means the courage is gone. You don't need courage when everything's going well. You need courage when everything's going against you. You don't need faith when you can see the finish line. You need faith when you can't see the next step. Elijah began to look around and saw that he was all alone, but he failed to see. Listen to this statement. I love this. He complained that he was all alone, but he's the one that ran away. God, I'm here all by myself. And God said, you ran away. Don't blame me for that. Go back to where you're supposed to be. You won't be all alone. I got to hurry. Number four. I could preach a whole series of sermons just right here. Number four. Discouragement blurs our vision to see how God really works. It blurs our vision to where we can't see how God really works. Folks, if I take this off, I can't see anything clear. I've been wearing glasses for, good grief, probably close to 20 years now. I can see faces out there, and I can make out who you are because I looked at you before by glasses, but not a one of you has a clear face. Yeah, it is. And God knows I can't read anything without... The first thing I do in the morning is grab the glasses. I can't even see in the dark without my glasses. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you older folks? Can I tell you something? Discouragement causes us to not see God right. It gets blurred. Look at verse number 11. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want you to notice something here. Bad weather and bad times don't last forever. Hard days and hard times don't last forever. Now, while you're going through it, it may seem that way. A day or two or three or a week or a month may seem like an eternity, but it's not. We're going to get some rain this week. And you're going to be all discouraged. It's just so rainy. We haven't had any sunshine for 3 days now. Oh. Did you know God's still God? Amen. You're like Elijah. Many see the earthquake and you feel the ground shake. And you think it's God. It's a sign from God. No, God said he's not in the earthquake. God said the wind came and was so strong that it broke the rocks. Now that's pretty powerful wind. When you got wind that's breaking rock, I don't want to be around it. Amen? God wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. The fire came. Did you know that the Bible says that God wasn't in the fire? Listen to this. We want God to do something loud, flashy, and unusual for a sign. God, you show yourself real. Give me something loud or flashy or powerful. My Bible says God was in the still small voice. It wasn't in the loud, wasn't in the shaking, it wasn't in the flashy, wasn't in the fire. It was just a tiny, still, small voice. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come in a flash. He comes in a still, small voice. Oh, you got to fall on the floor and flip and flop and jibber jabber and say all the motorcycle names backwards or something. No, 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 no. I got it, I got it, I got it. Well, don't give it to me. I don't want it. If it makes you act like that, I don't want nothing to do with that. Well, I got this feeling, preacher. I've had a lot of feelings, and not all of them are good. You get a kidney stone, you don't want the feeling that comes with that. That makes you have feelings you wish you never had. Can I tell you something? You never see the Holy Spirit in a feeling associated with one another in Scripture anywhere. The Holy Spirit works as a still small voice in accordance with the Word of God. The Bible says he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out, and he finally heard the still small voice. What did the still small voice say? Same thing it said earlier in verse number 9. It said, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Did you ever notice God didn't change what he said? There was no flash. There was not a fire. The earth didn't shake. But discouragement will keep you from hearing the still small voice. I've got to quit. You don't have to live in discouragement. It may come to you, but you don't have to invite it in for a visit. Don't be afraid of it. Chase it away when it comes to your door. Say, guess what? Nah, 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 nah. You can't stay here. I don't have to let you in. News comes, somebody passes, goes to heaven. Guess what? You don't have to live in discouragement. Well, I didn't say you weren't in sorrow, but you don't have to live in discouragement. Word comes that you have cancer, you don't have to live in discouragement. I may get news, by the way, I haven't gone to the doctor, so don't worry. But I could get news this week that I have cancer, but guess what? I'm not going to live in discouragement. I'm going to live till I die. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? How about you just decide you're going to live and not be sucking your thumb the rest of your life? Quit running away. How about we live with what we have and quit running from God? Let's look at God, not the problem, and let's not run away from our responsibility. You don't have to live with discouragement living within you. Elijah, what's your problem? You ran. You ran away. By the way, he ran more than twice as far away from God as he did in God's will. You will go farther away from God than you will when you're running for God. If you just do it God's way, it gets over a whole lot faster and a whole lot easier. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I deal with bad news almost every day of my life. I mean that. But I'm not a discouraged person. There's not a week in my life that goes by that I don't get news of a death or somebody near death or cancer, some incurable thing. Not a week. Preacher, how do you stay on topside? Because I don't let it stay with me. I decided I'm not going to get discouraged about it. I'm going to do it God's way.